Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. By the way, I love hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories: how an education technology startup is trying to land more schools as customers, and the bar owners in Houston who launched a beer for dogs. Those stories after this. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Get rich slow. That's the approach from Nancy McIntyre, CEO and founder of Fingerprint, provider of digital content for kids and families. She's in a battle to get more education technology in our classrooms and here to discuss a range of topics, including her experience, mistakes she made as an entrepreneur, and how she markets. She's based in San Francisco. Nancy, tell us about Fingerprint.
Fingerprint is a mobile technology company, and we've developed a digital platform for kids, primarily sort of 3 to 8, that features a curated content library that's all mapped to U.S. Common Core educational standards that can be played at home or school. And then it's supported by a range of tools for parents and teachers to help them make sure kids get the best apps.
So how do you target them? How do you get in front of their eyes?
Well, we really talk directly to parents and teachers. And so we spend a lot of time talking to parents and teachers about the quality of our content and the positive apps of putting kids in educational content, and so that's really our focus. So a lot of content marketing and a lot of focus on finding teachers and parents where they are, which is, you know, educational blogs, mom blogs, Facebook, etc.
So do you see your products then as supplemental to the typical education curriculum, or in lieu of, or in addition to? Like, how do you position that?
Yeah, so our latest partnership is with Excelligence Learning, and we co-developed a product called the Really Good Stuff Digital Learning Collection, which is a supplemental education product designed for the classroom, and in fact for classrooms of K through second graders. And what we see is that teachers will use these educational activities, the digital content, combined with a variety of printables and other materials that we've created for the teachers to supplement what's happening in the classroom. So if I'm studying fractions, I've got the ability to go in and find apps that meet the fraction standards and find printables that meet the fraction standards and really combine that with whatever's happening in the classroom.
What inspired you to launch this?
Well, I actually had been working in educational content for most of my career in the CD-ROM and video game era, and the iPhone comes out. It seems obvious that that's going to be the primary delivery mechanism, meaning mobile, for content, and I saw that being able to provide a curated library of content to parents and teachers so that they would know it was high quality, they would know what kids were learning, and that would map to standards would be a real value for them. And, you know, my overarching premise was I want to turn all the screen time into learning time.
Wow. Were you an entrepreneur before that, or did you just kind of take a flyer here?
that's a great question. I actually was the head of product and marketing at Leapfrog Enterprises, is the leading educational toy company. So I knew a lot about creating high-quality educational products for kids and families. But when the iPhone came out, I just became compelled to figure out how to leverage that.
That's interesting. We're speaking with Nancy McIntyre. She's the CEO and co-founder of Fingerprint. You can find more information on them at fingerprintplay.com, company based in San Francisco. Tell me about the battle for education technology right now, I guess, in schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you are seeing is that schools are looking, and teachers are looking for digital solutions. And what you see is that something like 60% of schools have adopted sort of a one-to-one mobile program, and they're looking to have one device for every student. And so you've got both Apple and Google in particular sort of fighting for the battle of the classroom. And so you've seen Apple launch things like ClassKit and other tools for the classroom, and then of course Google has Google Classroom, and both are fighting for owning that classroom and owning their direct relationship with the teacher and ultimately the pipeline on content. And so lots of interesting things happening there. But you know, from our perspective, technology is the single most important teaching tool out there, and in the same way that, you know, Andrew Carnegie thought that libraries would give access to, you know, millions of students for education, I see that, you know, mobile devices and technology does exactly the same thing in the classroom, and I'm glad to see that we're catching that.
Mm. How long has the company been around at this point?
Yeah, so Fingerprints, I founded the company in 2011, so it's about 7 years. And, you know, education is sort of that get-rich-slow thing, so we've been sort of slowly building our audience. Today we reach about 250,000 U.S. families, and we're in around 25,000 classrooms. Our products are played 2 million times a month, and so we're beginning to get some pretty significant traction. And, you know, our latest addition or co-development with Xcelligence Learning and Really Good Stuff, you know, is the first time that we've made a product explicitly for the classroom, okay, targeted at solving solutions for teachers.
How about that? Very good. So was in the past few years, was there a moment where you thought, finally, we got this, you know, we're going to make it? Or did you know all along, or what was your thought process?
Well, as an entrepreneur, it's a little bit of a roller coaster. Every week, I think we finally got it, and every week, I think something's going off the rails.
Oh, okay.
You know, like that excitement and paranoia is, you know, every day it's the same thing. But you know, I think the macro trends around kids with more screen time and more mobile access to mobile is a real positive for us, and all the data around, you know, the positive effects of using educational games in particular is a great trend for us. And that's a trend not just in the U.S., but on a global basis.
Did you find that in the early going, you made a mistake that you regretted but have learned from? I think sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs like to hear from others like, ooh, I want to make sure I don't make that mistake. I don't know whether it was with marketing or anything.
Yeah, you know, I think that we made our products too complex in the beginning. You know, too many bells and whistles. You know, we launched our first product with a feature called MomCom that would actually let parents see everything that a kid was playing, and then parents could send voicemail messages back to the child showing how successful they were, et cetera. And we really overbuilt a much too complicated product for what the market wanted 5 years ago. And I think that happens with a lot of entrepreneurs.
Got it. What's the business model? Do you bill, like, as you sign somebody up for this? Is there any advertising associated with it? How do you make your money?
Yeah, so our products are primarily sold on a subscription basis, so it's very similar to like a Netflix.
Okay.
And we sell either to a classroom model or directly to the consumer. So it's pretty straightforward from that perspective. But there is no ads, no in-app purchases, completely safe and secure for the student or the child using at home.
What are the growth areas for you in the coming months or years?
Yeah, we're very excited about launching our product on the Chromebook. So working with Google and launching it for the web, because we do think that that's a biggie in the classroom. And then we also are working on a progressive learning path. So we're actually going to map a personalized learning path across all of our content, so parents will be able to essentially create a learning regimen for their child that goes across a whole range of apps. And we're really excited about that. And we've got reason to believe that that will be wildly successful in terms of improving educational outcomes.
Wow. Tell me about the skills that you have, but the skills you don't have, so that you have to find somebody who, say, is a good partner or team member for you.
Yeah, well, I'm a non-technical founder of a technology company. And so the most important thing for me is to have a CTO that shares the vision and understands how to execute on that. And so, we've got 30 people at Fingerprint, and roughly 20 of them are highly technical with engineering background. And, that's really the most important thing, to be able to translate my vision of the product into a really high-quality experience, and that comes down to engineering.
One of the last things I like to ask folks like yourself, as just so full of enthusiasm and passion for what they do, is if the right offer came along, would you sell it?
Well, I think, of course. I mean, everybody aspires to get their business to scale. And if getting acquired means that you can reach as many users as possible, bring it on.
Yeah. And then what would you do?
Oh, I've got a lot of other ideas of things I want to do, but I'm really committed to education. So no matter what it is, it will be involved in education.
Very good. I'm sure you get requests to speak or whatever. Do you have like an underlying message that you always talk about when it comes to, women who want to be entrepreneurs or young kids with big dreams?
Yeah, I really focus on the young. I like to talk about the youngest learners. Like, I see my job as creating products that inspire a love of learning and inspire curiosity in kids. And so I often talk about that and how to make products that physically do that. Because, you can have the best curriculum in the world, but if kids won't play it, it doesn't matter. And so I really focus on that as sort of my core product message. And, on the more business-oriented model, like what I see is that for entrepreneurs, the number one thing you need to remember is that ultimately this is a sales job. As being the CEO or the founder of a company, you have to always be selling, whether it's your investors, your employees, your business partners, your customers. You have to always be selling what it is that you're doing and why it's going to benefit somebody else. And, so it's really difficult to be a CEO that doesn't have the ability to, lead the team up the hill and always be selling them around, selling all the constituents around what you're doing.
Thanks, Nancy. Nancy McIntyre, CEO and founder of Fingerprint. You can read more about the company at their website, which is fingerprintplay.com. More after this. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state, unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices helped it become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. A pair of Houston bar owners who started brewing beer for their ailing canine a few years ago are now selling Good Boy dog beer at more than 20 locations. Megan and Steve Long said they learned how to brew beer for dogs which does not contain alcohol, when their Rottweiler mix named Rocky started having digestion problems a few years ago. USA Today says the brews are called beer because Megan and Steve use a lot of the same equipment a brewery does. They just skip the fermentation process. Ms. Long said the beer contains all natural ingredients, including vegetables, meat, and turmeric, a spice known to aid digestion in canines. The Good Boy Dog Beer Company now has products available at more than 20 dog-friendly bars and restaurants in the Houston area, and they also ship products in cans. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. It's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.